This week's market update, trade and recession fears hit sentiment. Further climate protests shine a spotlight on ESG and value or growth, which style will outperform from here. Trade wars are top of the agenda again following a dreadful series of economic data announcements last week and ahead of the resumption of US-China negotiations later this week. Investors who have seen trade as a potential challenge to growth last week started to see evidence that it is now a real threat. The bad news started in the manufacturing sector, where monthly purchasing managers' surveys all around the world pointed to a slowdown in activity. The most important of these was the US survey, which pointed to a second consecutive month of contraction in US factory output and the slowest rate of growth for a decade. The impact was dramatic. Here in the UK, shares fell more than 3% on Wednesday, with heavy falls in the rest of Europe, Asia, and the US too. Arguably, a bigger concern for investors, however, was the service sector data later in the week, which confirmed the worst fears that a slowdown in the manufacturing and construction parts of the economy is starting to spill over into the much bigger and more important consumer-driven areas. Trade tensions are having a widespread impact, with countries like Japan and Germany, which are more exposed than most to exports, suffering the most. Germany is being hit by the twin drags of slower demand in China and in the UK, thanks to Brexit. Europe has, until now, sat on the sidelines of the US-China trade dispute, but after an unfavourable court ruling last week, it now faces US tariffs aimed at Airbus. In mid-November, we will learn whether Donald Trump has also decided to extend tariffs to the important European motor industry. Even back in the US, where the economy has so far stood up to the trade threat, the fading away of the corporate tax cut boost last year is leaving the American economy exposed to the global slowdown. The weak economic data has come at a bad time for investors, as the start of the fourth quarter reminds us that October can be a difficult time in the market. Many of the worst wobbles in the market have occurred in this month as the evenings draw in and summary optimism gives way to autumnal realism. The big question facing investors as they wonder whether the fourth quarter will see a repeat of 2018's final 3 months is whether or not we're heading towards a global recession. That doesn't look like being the central case at the moment, with most leading indicators still in positive territory. But the risk is that with growth at such historically low levels, external shocks run the risk of tipping us over the edge. At the end of the week, a reasonable set of non-farm payroll employment data gave investors some relief. Neither good nor particularly bad, the 136,000 jobs created in the latest month were the kind of Goldilocks number that investors prefer. Not so good that the Fed backs away from further easing, but not so bad that investors abandon all hope. The unemployment rate in the US fell further to 3.5%, its lowest level since 1969, which you can view in one of two ways, a sign of the underlying strength of the US economy or a worrying indication that it must rise from here. The likelihood of a deterioration from here has been confirmed by so-called Dr. Copper. The metal, often seen as a bellwether of the broader economy, is trading close to a two-year low on the back of weak manufacturing demand. Copper is used in most construction projects and in cars and white goods. It tends to be one of the first things speculators sell when they're concerned about the outlook. This week should provide further insight into the trade and wider economic situation. On Thursday and Friday, talks between the US and China kick off again, just 2 days before a proposed increase in tariffs on $250 billion of Chinese exports to America. President Trump has indicated that he's not keen on an interim truce, but the situation is likely to have been complicated by the apparently tightening impeachment noose, which might make some kind of progress look appealing to an under-pressure White House. Also, this week we'll have minutes from the Federal Reserve's most recent meeting, which should shine some light on the central bank's latest thinking. Having cut interest rates twice since July, the Fed may be looking for a pause, but the odds of a further cut at the next meeting later this month have shortened considerably in the wake of last week's poor data. Another piece of news that will dominate the headlines over the next couple of weeks and which is having an increasingly direct impact on investment portfolios is a series of Extinction Rebellion protests in cities around the world. XR, as it's known, has in less than a year become one of the most successful protest movements of recent years, using its strategy of non-violent civil disobedience to pile pressure on both companies and governments to take climate change seriously. Companies in particular are moving quickly in response to the changing mood. Just this week, the Royal Shakespeare Company parted company with its sponsor BP after a targeted online campaign, while Shell has been told that its deal with the National Theatre will not be renewed. Unilever said this week that it would halve by 2025 the 700,000 tonnes of plastic it uses each year to package its food and household goods. It's easy to dismiss all this as a bunch of idealistic young people clogging up the streets and disrupting ordinary people going about their business. But Extinction Rebellion has brought many older, typically unrebellious people into the fold. Older people who want to look their children and grandchildren in the eye and say they were not on the wrong side of history. And companies calculate that they too could easily be caught on the wrong side of a debate that may already have been won. The impact of climate change may be slow to unfold, but the effect of changing attitudes can be evident much more quickly. Take the advent of flight shaming, the idea that people are increasingly embarrassed to take unnecessary flights and are changing their habits accordingly. This might seem like a marginal issue, but for a high fixed cost, low margin business like aviation, even a modest reduction in flights can have a devastating impact on the bottom line. Investors are taking note and they're voting with their feet. Another sector that has fallen victim to changing market views over the past year is the formerly high-flying FANGs. For many years, the driving force of the stock market's growth, technology stocks have lagged the broader market by around 10% since this time last year. The reversal in fortunes reflects a shift in investment sentiment towards more defensive corners of the market, areas like consumer staples and utilities, which can be expected to do well even if the global economy turns south. The worry is that the performance of the FANGs might be a kind of canary in the coal mine, a warning of what might happen to the broader market. The fall from grace of the FANGs is mirrored by the failure or disappointing performance of a number of recent flotations. The failure to attract buyers for WeWork and the slide in recent floats like Lyft and Uber shows how investors are less inclined to give high growth but loss-making businesses the benefit of the doubt. In that regard, the recent wobble has more in common with the top of the dot-com bubble in 2000 than it does with the credit crunch of 2008. It differs from that earlier period in the sense that there's no euphoria about the stock market generally, but it does raise red flags about a stock market bull run that had of late become very narrowly focused. The final big uncertainty for UK investors, at least, is how Brexit develops this week. As it stands, the chance of the EU agreeing to the UK government's proposal at next week's EU summit looks slim. If the gap cannot be bridged by the 19th of October, then the government has apparently committed to requesting an extension, although it still talks about no delay to its determination to leave, come what may, on the 31st of October. What seems increasingly likely is an election before Christmas, and perhaps a second referendum too, although there is scant enthusiasm for this either in Westminster or the wider country. The choice facing the country looks increasingly like Brexit or a Jeremy Corbyn government. You might well think you don't fancy either of those.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.